Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 2, entitled Ajamya, Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 7. Aham hi kritta nirvesho, janma kucham hasamapi, yadvya jahara vivaso, Namasvastyaya Namhare. Ayam hi kritta nirvesho, janma kutyam hasammapi, yadvyajahara vivaso, namasvastyaya Namhare. This person, Ajamya, he indeed, Kritanirvesha, has undergone all kinds of atonement. Janma, of birth, Koti, of millions. Anhasam, for the sinful activities. Api, even. Yad, because. Vyajahara, he has chanted. Vivasaha, in a helpless condition. Nama, the holy name. Svastiayanam, the means of liberation. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. Ajamil had already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he didn't chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Purport. The Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamya. Since he was extremely sinful throughout his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraj and did not know that he had become free from the reactions of all his sins. The Vishnu Dutas therefore instructed that because he had chanted the four syllables of the name Narayan at the time of his death, he was freed from all sinful reactions. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verses from the Smriti Shastra. Nam nohi yavati shakti papanirharane hare tavat kartum nashaknuvati patakam pataki naraha. Simply by chanting one holy name of Hari, a sinful man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he is able to commit. Brihad Vishnu Purana. Avasenapi yannamni kirtite sarvapatakai puman vimuchate sajya simhatraster mrigeriva. If one chants the holy name of the Lord, even in a helpless condition or without desiring to do so, all the reactions of his sinful life depart, just as when a lion roars, all the small animals flee in fear. Garuda Purana. Sakrit ucharitam yena Haririti aksara dvayam bada parikarastena moksaya gamanam prati. By once chanting the holy name of the Lord, which consists of the two syllables Hari, one guarantees his path to liberation. Skanda Purana. These are some of the reasons why the Vishnu Dutas objected to the Yama Dutas taking Ajamil to the court of Yamaraj. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanana Salakya Saksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gorange Radhe Vindavane Swere Visabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we discuss a little bit about the incredible potency of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And that by that chanting, although Ajamil was not following any regulative principle, although Ajamil was living a sinful life, still, nonetheless, Ajamil somehow or other chanted the name of his son, Narayan, due to some previous pious connection. He had named his son Narayan. And when he chanted those syllables, those four syllables of the name Narayan, He became purified from all these reactions to his sinful activities. Generally speaking, when one chants and one is continuing sinful activities, then one is guilty of the sevens of offense in the matter of chanting the holy name. Namno bhalat ipapa buddhi, yasya ipapa buddhi. That on the strength of chanting the holy name, one continues to commit sinful activities. Therefore, it would be thought that Ajamil would be guilty of the seventh offense in chanting the holy name. But Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that is not the case, because Ajamil was not chanting with an intention to minimize the reactions to these sinful activities. Therefore, he was not using the name as some sort of utensil. Like the holy name is so powerful, it washes whiter than white. Right? Like some super powerful washing powder or something like that. That we take the holy name like a tool. That is basically an element in this seventh offense. But because Ajamil had no intention to simply utilize the name for his own personal gain, in other words, using Krishna rather than serving Krishna and rather than chanting for Krishna's pleasure, and us being the ones who dedicate our lives in service to Krishna, one is simply trying to use Krishna. Haha, I found a loophole. I can do any damn thing I want, but I chant Hare Krishna, and thus I will not suffer the reactions. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta commented on this point, that what happens is, then Krishna withdraws himself from the holy name, and all that remains is an empty shell. Then there's still the sound, but Krishna is no longer manifest within. And then one can chant Bhavana Janmana Adhikari Shravana Kirtanam Tahutana Paya Padepanan. One can chant the holy name of the Lord for many, many births, but still one will not get the desired success of this chanting, which is Krishna praying. So that is the first point. Then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Srila Prabhupada's purports are very wonderful, because Srila Prabhupada writes these purports in the mood of a servant and not in the mood of a master. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is humbly including the commentaries of previous acharyas, and not just, well, I have my own ideas. No, he also adds his own commentary, but he also includes the commentary of the acharyas. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada, as a servant, becomes greater than what he would have been all alone. When one becomes a faithful servant of the acharyas, one is not just relying on his own intelligence, but one is also relying on the intelligence of the acharyas. And in the end, one is more intelligent. One is, in this way, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's verse, Namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane are tavat kartum avapnuti patakam pataki naraha, which says that by chanting one holy name of Hari, only one, a sinful man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he's able to commit. We have seen this last portion, more sins than he's able to commit, explained as more sins than he's able to commit in a lifetime. one holy name is purifying us of more sins than we can possibly commit in a whole lifetime. Now, think about it. We could commit a lot of sins in a lifetime if we wanted to. And it wouldn't be hard. Right? People start the day. The first activity is sinful. Maybe while the eyes are still closed, reaching out to a cigarette. Then sort of reading the newspaper or the news, about absorbing all the sinful reactions of all the sinful people. One may read a newspaper, but Srila Prabhupada commented that one should not read Time magazine because one absorbs all the sins of all these people that are there. So newspapers are like depositories of sinful activities. And one, so early in the morning, after the smoke, read the newspaper while taking the intoxicant in the form of coffee and so on, and then have a non-veg breakfast, just to give a simple, standard way of accumulating sinful activities from the beginning of the day, and so on. And then it just carries on. But even if one would be a vegetarian, one would still accumulate sinful activities, muchante sarva kilbisai, if it is not Krishna prasadam. So, yagya sisasino santo muchante sarva kilbisai. We are only taking yagya sista, remnants of what is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, this chanting is liberating us. And that is amazing. So, if we think about such a Harinam festival, it is really packed with mercy. It's although some people have introduced myself as a transcendental rock star, it's, and I don't know why, but the point is that it's not about that, right? It is about the name. It is about simply the potency of the chanting of the holy name, which destroys so many sinful activities. One holy name, more sins than one can commit in a lifetime. Of course, we have many. I mean, from innumerable lifetimes. We cannot imagine how many lifetimes we have been piling up sin upon sin upon sin. So therefore, one sometimes wonder, I chant so much, right? I chant and chant and chant and chant, and I don't feel, I must get purified, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel the change. It's not dramatic. It's not really a total change in my life. I'm still sort of dragging on the same old. I seem to be still under the influence of previous sinful reactions. It is said that if you have a lot of material desires, that this is the result of previous sinful activity. We get all these material reactions, and the result is that we are full of sinful desires. Aparabdha karma. Aparabdha karma, or unmanifest karma in the heart, is creating a sinful inclination. Then we can dream up all kinds of sinful things. Well, in our case, it seems to be like that. It seems to be quite easy to think of all kinds of sinful things, and more difficult to think of pure devotional service. That seems to be a great effort. So from that we conclude that the sinful reactions are still many. Still many within the heart. That may be But that's simply because there were such enormous quantities. So many sinful reactions. Therefore, we need not worry. Sometimes we think that our biggest problem is material desire. If only I didn't have material desire, then I could happily engage in devotional service, so happily chant and so happily dance and forever. And then life would be perfect. This is the one problem I have, material desire. But that is not the proper understanding. The proper understanding is, rather than the material desire being our problem, our offensive inclination is the problem. The fact that we are again and again committing sinful or committing offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name. That is our problem. Because otherwise the chanting will very quickly purify us. Quickly? Just see, maybe not in 20 days, although even in 20 days one can be more purified than one thinks. As far as spiritual advancement, I compare it to growing old, right? You look at someone and it's not that right in front of you they're growing old. There is this movie, based on a book, of course. There's an old film called Shangri-La, right? And Shangri-La was like a little paradise, a hidden valley somewhere in the Himalayas, and way beyond Tibet, and some mystical place. And in that valley, there were people living who were very happy and had a very high standard of life. And the greatest thing that they had was that time was moving very slowly in Shangri-La. One wouldn't get old in Shangri-La. One would, but very, very slow. So many people were born there, but some people, they wound up there by accident. There was one Russian lady, she was 86, but she didn't look a day older than 23. Which, you know, is not bad at 86. Yeah. 23 forever. Right? Yeah. So, it was a wonderful place. And they had a mode of goodness kind of lifestyle. They had all the opulences of the world. Because they had gold. And they used to use that gold, and people would, some nomads would bring in all the opulence of the world, different books, different art, music, musical instruments, all the good of the world was there in Shangri-La. Paradise on earth. But, and then these people, they wind up there, by some, well, accident and so on, and they're there, but they have been brought there. The story starts, they were in China, and there was some revolution breaking out, and there is the last British in China, and there is this British secretary who's saving all these people, and they go out on the last planes, and they're in this plane, and it's supposed to take them to safety. And they sleep overnight, and in the morning they wake up and they find out that the plane is... the sun is on the wrong side. The sun is on the wrong side. They're flying in the wrong direction. They are being taken away somewhere. And then they're taken to Shangri-La. And now they're in this paradise, and they wonder, you know, like, okay, some of the people begin to quite like it. It's actually, they wear kimonos, and it's quite okay, you know, Tibetan something. They don't mind it, actually. It's sort of comfy over there. But one person falls in love with the Russian lady of 86, you know, the one that looks like 23 and looks a more important than a birth date, you know, ultimately. So, and then she tells him, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Actually, you know, they're keeping us here against our will. There is this so-called spiritual leader, a Belgian priest who is supposed to be 300 years old. It's all rubbish. I am 23. And let's get out of here. And let's get into the world. And let's have some fun. You know, what else? You know, what else is youth for? So, and they go out, they leave, you know, and then, but she gets tired on the way. They have to pass over mountains with snow. She gets tired, and they carry her over the shoulder. And then at one point, they see that she's grown old. It's a shocking image in the movie. It's quite overwhelming. And yeah, so it is like that age grows on us, but it goes slow. So you don't notice it unless sometimes something starts growing that didn't grow before. One tooth breaks, and anyway, put a crown, a false thing here, a false one there. Things start bulging in all kinds of places. Hairs start growing everywhere. Eyesight gets lost. Knees, you know, they are not as solid as they used to be. One goes through them sometimes. Suddenly, through the knee. All these kind of things start happening. The amount of bacteria that are like within the mouth, it's inconceivable. It's a universe of like bacteria and disease. I will not enter into other parts of the body now. I stay above the belt. But the bacteria are really something else as the time is going on. So age, it grows on us little by little, and sometimes you see it. Sometimes you look in the mirror and say, oh my God, it's happening. Oh God, it's happening to me as well. Right? At 40, you think, I'm old. Right? Of course, you know, those who are really old, they think, don't let this depress you, you know. You can still do everything, you know. It's still, at 60, right, you are old. Right? But you can still fake it. At 70, everybody knows it. Right? At 80, you need help. You need help. Beyond that, you know, we really don't want to talk about it. Nappies. Some get it earlier. And again, wearing nappies. Anyway, so that was a little bit of colorful illustration about age. Just to show us that we are in this material world, and it is happening to us, and there's no time to lose. It is now that we still have our mental and physical faculties that we take advantage. You know, if when you're 20 you don't dance, right? Too bad. You know, later on you can't. Even when you want to. So if you don't dance now and you're a wallflower, don't worry. You're old before your time. That's all. Right? You know, you're already acting like you're 80, right? You're sitting on a chair at the side, because when you're 80, that's all you can do. Right? Sit there. Right? Yeah. You know, in old age, you have to check your toothbrush if it's wet, because you can't remember if you brushed them or not. Yeah? Did I chant my rounds or not? It's getting worse and worse. Starts to happen to me all the time now. Did I? Huh? I forgot to pull the counter beats down. Yeah? And then I wondered. I think I chanted 9, but I guess I'll just have to accept that it's only 7. And I just stay at 7, you know, for like, stay there. And I go like, what's going on here? I'm chanting like anything. I'm still at 7. Some people, of course, have this already when they're 20. If you have this when you're 20, what you're going to be like, you know, in old age, I don't know. But better chant now. Chant while we can. Take advantage of this movement. Because the result, the effect is amazing. Don't think the effect that it's not happening. Spiritual advancement also. Sometimes we notice it. Many times we don't notice. Just like growing older, we don't notice. And then suddenly you realize, well, I'm getting a little bit attached to Krishna. Yes, we are getting attached to Krishna. But we also still attached to material things as well. To both. Yes, that is true. At one point, one has to let go. We always hope that all the material desires will just be taken away. Right? I'll wake up one day and they'll be gone. That's what I'm hoping for. I'll keep on chanting, and then one day I'll just wake up and all my material desires will have disappeared. No, but still you have to make a choice also, somewhere along the line. Yes, the material desires will diminish, but Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives that explanation in the Madhurya Kadambini, which I like. He describes that in the beginning there is a tiny little island, a speck of Krishna consciousness in an ocean of Maya. Right? Then little by little, as we go from Shraddha, as we are more in from initial faith into the association of devotees, at least we start practicing some regular devotional service, some bhajana kriya. But Maya is completely in your face, so much in your face. But still, all that devotional service is purifying us, and gradually Maya goes at a little distance. As we go through Anartha Nivriti and get purified, we get to Nista. And at Nista, it said the material influence is at some distance. Maya is at some distance. So there's some relief coming in now. Some relief begins to come. That constant being beaten by Maya is now being diminished. Then we carry on. In Nista, we are ready. We have firm faith. Shraddha Sapta, Vishwas Kai Sudridhanischai Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hai. that as we are following this process of and we develop our faith, we get the firm determination that from devotional service all good things in life will come, and therefore we are ready to leave other things, even if some attachment is there. Say, ah, forget it, it's not worth it. I call that let's make a declaration of no faith in sex life. Basically, no faith. It's like even after enjoying sexual activity, still not satisfied. Bhagavatam says even the demigods, they enjoy better quality than what we get here. Even they, after the act, still feel unfulfilled. There it is. So therefore, why put our faith in these things? So at least in Nista, one may have some material desire, but why put faith in all these material desires? Is it going to really make us happy? If I was a rich man, would it really make such a difference? Would we be fulfilled? Why go for the illusion, in other words? So, in this way, by not having faith in material enjoyment, one can put all his faith in Krishna consciousness. If we put our faith somewhere else, that faith we cannot put in Krishna consciousness. So we're holding back faith. Maybe this will make me happy. Because you never know. You see, I know. Didn't work. I know. It didn't work. Bad luck, bad karma, and so on. But then again, you never know. I may have some good karma also. I might. And then, it may just suddenly start working. And what if? Then if I'm not ready for it, I will never forgive myself. Imagine, I would renounce now. Imagine I would renounce, stay a brahmachari whole life. Imagine I would do that. Oh my God. And then, you know, she comes, right? The princess, after all, the perfect match. Right? That one person that took birth somewhere on the planet, that just took birth for you. That person. And maybe it took a while before you found each other, but now you found each other. It's true love all the way, right away, at first sight, and it's not going down at all. It's getting stronger day by day, deeper and deeper, and oh my God, it's just love every moment, you know, from the morning till the evening, and even from the evening till the morning. Oh my God. Right? All that. Right? Now, I'm sorry, you know, sannyasis, they are supposed to pop balloons, right? That perfect match doesn't exist. Sorry. There's no such thing as the perfect match. There's no such thing as the one person. There's not one, right? If there was only one, it would be easy. It's not that there is one person who is the one, right? No. You'll find out that the one is maybe not the one after all. You know, after a little while. I like Madhu Mangal's German play, which is his wife is standing there and she's ironing endless dhotis, piles of them. Right? She's got a cloth around her hair. Right? She looks totally uncharming. I mean, how it is after marriage, yeah? Somehow or other. Before marriage, they never look like that, but after they do. And she's ironing, right? Endless piles of laundry. He is sitting in front of the TV watching football. Yeah? And she's lamenting. And I thought that he was going to deliver me. And he goes, shut up, I can't hear, you know, the commentator. Yeah? And he says, where's my coffee? And she comes and she brings him his coffee with an expression on her face. You fallen wretch, here is your intoxication. So he sees that face and he says, look, I'm not any less Krishna conscious, you know. I mean, I'll prove it to you, you know. The coffee, black Krishna. The milk, white Radharani. And when you stir it, Gauranga. Okay, it's just a play. But it has a realistic element, you know. I mean, what can we say? There are many such things do happen. Ultimately, these relationships will only work when partners become friends and engage in Krishna consciousness together. I mean, well, if friendship is the essence of marriage, right, then you can be friends with the brahmacharis as well. Same thing, you know. It's like, that's all you really, when everything is over, that's all you really get out of it, friendship. Anyway, leaving that aside, sorry, that was the sannyasi that came out. What to do? Can't keep the cat in the bag all the time. No, it's really friendship, and real friendship means to give someone else something that is really beneficial, right? You know, I used to have bad friends before, and you know, and they sort of clunk the glasses and say, here you go. And where do you go? To hell you go. And no one likes to go to hell alone. Yeah? Let's go together. Here we go. Yeah, so that's there, but that's not friendship. Friendship means that we give something beneficial to others. And therefore, yeah, let's just help each other to be devotees. Right? That's what it's all about. Help each other to be devotees. Right? No one can be a devotee all by himself. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was such a powerful acharya. Some have said a ray of Vishnu, right? A special personality who appeared in this world as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur upon the prayer of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was, as his child, had his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin thread. And so many amazing things, right? Who knew scripture at an early age. So many. His whole life is just an extraordinary life. He was chanting for 10 years the same vow as Haridas Thakur. A billion names. 300,000 a day. Good luck. You know, even if you can chant 300,000 one day, then can you chant them again the next day? Even if. I mean, there's no break then, right? It just goes on. That's possibly there are devotees who are extremely determined, who are just, who can somehow or other chant very fast, right? And who can chant 300,000 names in one day. But a second day? And even if you make it through the second day, that's a miracle. A third day? If we would do it for a week, then after that, you know, we want a vacation. After that, we need... I have experience that once I chanted 64 rounds, and after that I walked through a room and there was a newspaper lying there, and my hand went for the newspaper. And I go, what are you doing? And my, I said to my mind, what is this? And you just chanted 64 rounds and now you want to take that newspaper. Why? Because the focus, 64 rounds, it focused for like so many hours, non-stop, on this holy name. Right? Just focus, 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 focus. And then suddenly, I'd done it, wanted to relax, read the newspaper. Let's see. So, but the chanting itself is, once you chant 300,000 names in a relaxed way, just completely relaxed. Anyway, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was such an extraordinary personality, such a great, great devotee. I forgot where I started the story, but anyway, it will come back. He somehow or other still had to face so much difficulty. Still, he also had to face the material world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was giving a lecture. And that was his main thing, lecturing, right? He's so learned. So he could lecture for hours, many hours. And after lecturing for many hours, he thanked all the devotees. And he said, thank you so much for saving me from Maya, for giving me this opportunity to speak about Krishna. So, it's like that, that don't start thinking, let us not put some devotees on a super pedestal and put them so high and hang unlimited garlands around their neck, right? And just worship their feet and say all the time, you are so great. You are just so amazing. You are the one that is been sent by Krishna. You are special. You are a jewel. You are a diamond. You are a gift of Krishna. You are this. You are that. Okay. It's getting... No. Somehow or other, it's by taking shelter. It's by taking shelter that we can climb great heights. It's by taking shelter that we can do amazing things. It's just by taking shelter that we, the weak ones, the ones who are born weak, everyone is born weak. I was looking at an interesting experiment. It is known as the marshmallow test, right? Now, I don't know if everyone in Slovenia knows marshmallows. You know marshmallows in Slovenia? You know marshmallows? Some are shaking their head. They don't know what a marshmallow is. Oh my God. A marshmallow is from America. Right? And it's some sort of spongy thing, you know, like... Yeah. And it's sweet. Very sweet. It comes in different colors and so like this, and they have even marshmallows with chocolate coating. Marshmallows. So they do the marshmallow test with kids, right? And what they do is they take a kid into the room, and there's a table and a chair, and on the table, yes, folks, yes, 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 there is a plate with a marshmallow on it, right? Full size. It's right there. And they take the kid there and they sit and they said, come, sit on this chair. And the kid is sitting on the chair in front of the marshmallow and looking like, what is this? Huh? And then the psychologist there says, yes, yes, yes. Yes, it's for you, right? The kid's about to like devour the thing. And then the psychologist said, but you can eat it now, but if you wait, you can have two. I will go out of the room and I'll be back in 10 minutes. And if you don't eat this, right? And when I come back, I'll give you two. You want one or you want two? All the kids say two. We want two. Right? And then the psychologist goes out of the room and there's the camera and the kid is sitting there in front of the marshmallow. And the kids are doing things like, the hand is going for the marshmallow, right? And there, no. And then one kid takes one and starts licking it. And it just goes on like this, you know. And then one kid, of course, takes a little piece from the bottom, right? Starts eating. And then there's this, you know, some kids, you know, even as the psychologist said, you know, you can have it now or you can wait. And it's like, whoop, it just goes straight into the mouth. You know, they don't even hear what is being said. They are just marshmallow. And then there's this girl. She's just pushing the plate away, you know. And puts it on the out of reach, sort of, you know. So it is very interesting. Now, the marshmallow test was started 50 years ago for the first time. And there's one psychologist who became famous because of it. And what he did is he did not just do the test, but he followed the people. So even now, he's got records of people for 50 years. He's followed what happened in their lives. And he said the kids that were able to restrain themselves, they did much better in their education, they did better in their jobs, they did better in their marriages. Sense control. It's super interesting test, I think, for us, because we all have our marshmallows, you know. You know what I mean? There's always a marshmallow somewhere. It is like, what to do. But one of the kids did a whole thing, you know, and started to sing and like, you know, and tried the approach. It's very interesting to see how they're trying different approaches. One is hold me back, you know. The other one, okay, keep the plate at a distance. The other one is just get involved, get busy with something else, right? So sing and this and that, get busy with something else. So that is our process. Our process is not that we are going to conquer the senses. Ah, ha, ha, marshmallow. You know, even if we would do this marshmallow test with adults, right? Even we would have a hard time. Right? put someone in a room with a rasgulla on his plate. And how long can you sit there before you eat the thing? Put two people in a room with 30 rasgullas on their plate and say you can eat only one. Sex once a month. Can... Not so easy. Not so easy at all. So, okay. Life is a marshmallow test. That is quite clear. Anyhow. But it is a fact. We can try and keep ourselves at a distance. At a distance from the sense objects. We can try and, you know, be more saffron than saffron. Right? We can try. But even that won't save us at the end, you know. It's not the color of the saffron that's going to do it. Oh, no. If it was so easy. It is only by taking shelter, by taking shelter of devotional service and taking shelter of the holy name, that it can be done. Now, you know, we're not going to chant Hare Krishna, are we? Oh, my God. Oh, no. 16 rounds. Oh, my God, that's a lot. Anyway, let's knock a hole in it, you know. Okay. Ping, one down. Two, three. Midway. Cake break. Finally, a little relaxation. Boy, I really made an effort here. I'm deserving a break. Now I can relax. No. Take shelter and relax. It's okay. Chanting Hare Krishna is actually all right. It's fine. It's actually no need to be in anxiety about it. Oh my God, I got to chant 16 rounds again. I just finished them at midnight and now... Now again. It's too intense. Jeez. Oh. No anxiety. Stop always in anxiety. I'm missing out, I'm missing out, I'm missing out. So many marshmallows. Don't worry. Don't worry about the marshmallows. They're not that good, you know. Same old marshmallow, you know. Now, let's relax and just take shelter. And try and be peaceful and appreciate. And in this way, get absorbed in the holy name. So for that, we have these holy name festivals where we get just absorbed in chanting and chanting and chanting. But in so many ways. And I'm very happy that this festival has a Harinam attached to it. I went yesterday, only walked. I couldn't sing, but I walked. It was a long walk. Yeah. And I even cut it short. But it was a long Harinam. And this is it. We can spend all our time, you know, fighting our marshmallows. But at the end of the day, right, and try and get absorbed in chanting the holy name and in devotional service and wonder, am I still making spiritual advancement? Is it ever going to happen? Will I ever be free from material desires? Will it ever happen? Maybe not. But then the essential item for this age comes into the picture. The one part which you cannot leave out. Have you been in Vrindavan? Oh, let's go. Radhe, radhe, radhe. Radhe, radhe, radhe. 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 Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. Oh, it's so sweet.
Vrindavan.
It is so sweet. But
there's only one problem.
Sometimes it just gets too sweet for a punk like me. You know what I mean? It just gets too sweet. Sometimes I just have to break loose. So I am so sorry. You can't stay in Vrindavan. You can try. You won't make it. You can go. Radhe, Radhe. Wish you well. But it's not going to work. Many have tried before you. Bigger horses tried to cross the river. They didn't make it. You think the skinny little horses are going to make it? No. Then what? You got to get that taste of Sankirtan. You got to become a Sankirtan devotee before you can go to Vrindavan. You got to somehow or other live for giving. Live for giving. Giving Krishna consciousness. Giving mercy to others. Not thinking about, what about me? Where's my marshmallow? My marshmallow prasad. Huh? See, once we join the Hare Krishna movement, we turn the marshmallows into prasad. And then we just carry, where's the mercy for me? Where's it for me? Stop that. Just give it to others. And if you do, that's the final thing that will finally change it all. And bring us to the point where we actually get some satisfaction. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and grows over time. And it's in that way that once we become a Sankirtan devotee, not necessarily distributing books, but somehow or other, the one that always thinks, how can I give some mercy here? When we start doing that, when we start giving instead of taking, then we can chant the holy name with taste. That's where we break through the taste barrier. And that is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Then, and once you chant with taste, then so many things will come. So this spirit has to be there. Not just once, but it has to become our constant meditation. Drinking the mercy and giving it. Drinking, giving, drinking, giving. I have my little analogy which I will use and then I'll end. And that is that, you know, in sewing, you have to push the needle through the cloth. And if the cloth is hard, for that they have like a little metal tip on the finger. Right? Like a little cup to push the needle through so that the needle won't hurt. So when we are joining this movement, we all get a little cup about the size of one of those. Tiny little cup. That's our nectar cup. And you use that nectar cup all the time. You know, hold it out. If there is some mercy, some nectar, and you try to catch it, and you have to be quick, you know, to catch some, because the cup is very small. But it's good. It's definitely good. Mm-hmm. Yum, yum. Mm. Very good. And then, by good sadhana, by devotional service, gradually our little cup is growing a bit. A bit. A bit, if you know what I mean. And like that, it goes. But the day that you take your nectar cup, and instead of taking it to your mouth, start using it to give out. And in between, you also drink. One for me, two for you. Then your cup starts growing day by day, and in the end you have this big vessel, you know, huge thing, and it's and you become intoxicated. At that time, the chanting of the holy name just becomes like a wave of ecstasy. And it never ends. Okay, thank you very much. Any comments, any questions? Generally, when devotees have some attachment or propensity,
We're encouraged to chant the holy name.
We're encouraged to chant the holy name.
So how do we understand this in relation to the seventh sense, which means chanting in support of the Trinity?
How do we relate that to the seventh offense? The seventh offense, which is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, the seventh offense is not that we are trying to chant to overcome our material desires, or trying to chant for the sake of becoming purified. It is about committing sinful activities on the strength of the Holy Name. It means that we carry on doing those material things, those sinful activities.